Now, if you wish to follow along, turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. My subject for this morning is the burnt offering. And you'll actually find the beginning truth of the burnt offering, that is, at least in the Levitical, under the Levitical law, you'll find it in Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. And then you'll also find it in Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8 through 13. But I'm not going to read all of that subject. I want to read just a few verses from this text. Chapter 1, look at verse 7. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay wood in order upon the fire. And that's simple enough. They had live coals they put on the altar. Then they laid the wood on top of it. It would catch on fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be burnt, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. And then this is the phrase, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Amen.
We find that again in verse 13, concerning not one of the part, one of the herd, but one of the flock, as a lamb or a goat, whatever it might be. And he shall wash the inwards and legs with water. The priest shall burn it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Amen.
And then we find that even also said of a turtle dove or a young pigeon. And it usually had to be at least two of each. And it says, according to that, in verse 17, and he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire. And then here's the phrase again, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Amen.
Now in chapter 6, we read these words. Chapter 6, just two verses here. This is still talking about the burnt offering. This is the law of the burnt offering. Verse 12, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning.
Yes, sir.
And lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. So we see these two are connected together.
Yes, sir.
Now here's what I want you to see. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out.
Amen.
And now when I sent my text out last week, I realized that I'd made a slight mistake when I gave you the title, because I was quoting directly from the passage in chapter 6, at least a part of the title, but I want to correct that. Here's my title, The Burnt Offering. The fire shall never go out.
Amen.
That's what I want to try to zero in on this morning. The fire shall never go out. Now, do not despair when you begin to read the book of Leviticus. You begin to see all of these sacrifices and all of these details of specific things that were to be used. The priest is even told to take the ashes and of this burnt offering and put them beside the altar. And he's supposed to have on specific clothes.
Yeah.
But before he even removes those ashes to a clean place, he's supposed to put on other clothes. And as you begin to read through the book of Leviticus, it has all of these multiple offerings. And then it gets into clothing and incense and the building. And it's very complex.
Yes, sir.
It's very complex. But remember this, and I'll try to illustrate it by the book of the Song of Solomon. Jesus Christ is the key to all of this.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the key to understanding the book of Leviticus.
Oh, yeah.
As I stated last week, you read some of these things, and you know, your eyes just begin to gloss over and your mind begins to wonder. But if you think about this, if God reminds us of this, this is about Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes,
you read the book of the Song of Solomon, if you think of it as merely a love story between a man and a woman, it will be just perplexing.
Yeah.
It'll be perplexing. But if you realize Solomon was not writing about some Shulamite woman he met. Solomon had many women. There was not just one woman that Solomon loved. Solomon was writing about Christ and the church. And that was his real meaning. That's what he actually meant. But he used this illustration, this metaphor of King Solomon and a Shulamite woman. You see, the burnt offering is distinguished as such from other offerings that are called burned offerings. There were many offerings that were burned on the altar.
Exactly.
Most all of them, not all, but most all were to some degree or another burned on the altar.
Yep.
Even the meat offering, the KJV calls it, which was a grain offering. In some cases it was first fruits, it was vegetables, whatever it might be. It might be wheat or whatever it was they had there. Our KJV calls it corn. We think of corn as maize. It wasn't maize, but be that as it may. The book of Leviticus distinguishes the burnt offering as such from other burnt offerings in that all of the burnt offering was to God only.
Amen. That's right.
In many other, the meat offerings, that is the grain offerings, the drink offerings, many of the priests, Aaron and his sons, were allowed to partake of certain parts of those offerings.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And they were burned upon the same altar as the burnt offering. But this is specifically called the burnt offering. Many others are called a sweet savor, but this is a sweet savor to God and God only.
Amen.
That is, this offering, the burnt offering, was meant for the enjoyment, and I say that with no disrespect toward God, for the enjoyment of God Almighty.
Amen.
That's what it was about.
Yes,
you see, three thoughts. I'll give you three thoughts first. All of these multiple offerings, and all of this complexity, and it is very complex. As I decided to engage in this, I realized I'm not going to be able to touch all of it because I can't adequately explain all of it. The problem's not with the book of God, the problem's with me.
Yeah.
But what God has shown me, I pray He'll enable me to share with you. Now, three thoughts about all of these offerings. Three things. And this is just the beginning. Number one, the reason there is all this complexity, all of these multiple offerings, are for three main reasons. One, it is to show their burdensome nature. That is, these offerings themselves, they were very burdensome. These priests were constantly at work. And others have pointed out, and it's right and rightfully so, there were no chairs inside of that white linen fence that surrounded that tabernacle. There were no chairs inside.
That's right.
Because these men were not allowed to sit down once they entered that front door, because the work was always to be done.
Amen.
Every morning, burnt offerings.
Yes, sir.
Peace offerings. Other offerings, sin offerings, trespass offerings, offerings for ignorance, offerings for willful sin, offerings for those in authority, offerings for those that are under authority. And it just goes on and on and on, and it is so perplexing. Is it not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And like I said last week, don't get holy on me now. And like you understand it all, and you got, now I understand the Jewish religion. Nah, most of the Jews don't even understand the Jewish religion. Peter put it this way. He calls it a yoke of bondage.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
That was put around the neck of the disciples. He said, we're not going to do that anymore.
That's right.
These things had their place and purpose.
Yes, sir. That's right.
And they're there. They still can teach us some things. But it's not about those things. It's all about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Secondly, these things are so complex and multiple because they're there to remind us of sin and sins.
Amen.
This is exactly what Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 3 says. Every time they offered a sacrifice, it reminded them they were not perfect.
Exactly.
The very fact that you had to offer it over and over and over and over again was a constant reminder, I'm not right in God's sight.
Exactly.
That's what the book teaches. Some people say, well, the Bible's so contradictory. No, the Bible's not contradictory. Our hearts and minds want to contradict God's Word.
Yes, sir.
God's Word says in the Old Testament that male children, if they want to be a part of God's covenant people, should be circumcised. And that's what it teaches. Does it not?
Yes, sir.
But even then, it shows us that Abraham was declared righteous before he was ever circumcised.
Amen.
And Paul picks up on that and says, listen, true circumcision is not what you do to a male flesh. It's what God does for the heart.
Amen.
It's what God does for the heart. Amen. The Bible's clear.
Yeah.
It's our minds and our hearts that are foggy at best.
Yeah. You're right.
At best. That's the second thing. They're so complex and multiple to remind us of sin and sin. Joe's already touched on that. Sin's what I am. Sins are what I do because I am sin. Number three.
Amen.
Number three. It took these many offerings, these many overlapping in many cases.
Yeah.
Overlapping in many cases. It took these many offerings to depict our Lord's glorious person and work. One single offering couldn't have done it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right.
And that's why I mean, we go through the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, you see burnt offerings.
Yeah.
You see a few other offerings. But all of a sudden in Leviticus, it explodes.
Yeah.
It explodes. And we have shadow after shadow after shadow. And I know this. Those in that day that God had opened their hearts and minds to the truth of the gospel, they understood these things were shadows.
Exactly. Yeah.
King David himself said, in burnt sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not.
Amen.
He understood that it's a heart work.
Yes.
It's a heart work. It's not going through forms. So, with that being said, let's consider three facets. And I'll only consider three facets of the burnt offering in detail. Let me show you what I mean by... there's just three, but there are many others. Just in the burnt offering, but... And some people love this one, boy. Chapter 1 and verse 3. It uses the phrase... of his own voluntary will. Oh, there we go. Right there's free will in it.
Yep.
Hmm?
Yep.
Ain't that clear? But wait a minute. The actual offerer, if you understand the book of Leviticus correctly, is Jesus Christ himself. He of his own voluntary will came down to do the Father's will.
Amen. That's right.
That's the voluntary will. They'll, we have to be made willing in the day of his power.
Amen.
He of his own voluntary will. And we say this, I don't know if it happened just this way. It's a way of trying to, he struck hands with the Father and said, I will do your will.
Amen.
I am surety for your people. I will go and suffer in their steads. He's the one with the own voluntary will. Another one, chapter 1 of verse 4. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. So you must relate to the burnt offering. Well, you must.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
God will have you to lay your hands upon his burnt offering.
Yes,
or you will perish forever. Yeah. But this is not about us.
Exactly.
This is about him laying his hands on me.
Yeah.
Amen.
This is about him laying his hands on you. If he don't lay his hands on you first, you will never seek to touch him. Men loved darkness, not more than light, but rather than light. And they hate the light.
Amen.
Neither do we by nature come to the light, lest our evil deeds would be exposed.
Exactly.
That's a paraphrase, but that's what he's talking about.
Yes, sir.
So remember those three things. But let's consider three facets of the burnt offering. Number one, the burnt offering was not particularly... an expiating sacrifice for sin. Now, I read one Bible dictionary that says it was not an expiating sacrifice for sin. It actually said that. And I read in verse 4 again, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him.
Amen. That's what it says.
But I am saying the burnt offering is far more than just expiating sin. That means to put away sin, to make atonement for you, to reconcile you to God. It's much more than that. Its main emphasis is for God.
Amen.
And God don't need expiating.
That's right.
We do.
Amen.
God don't need atoning for. We do. God don't need to be reconciled. We do.
There you go. Amen.
We do. But the burnt offering was not primarily an expiating sacrifice for sin. I'm not saying it was not expiating. But it's only expiating because it was, God said, I like that.
Amen.
Now maybe if you're not a meat lover like I am, this illustration won't matter to you. But I know even right now I'm hungry. If it wasn't for I know that I'm here to preach the gospel this morning, I'd quit right now and I'd go to the store and I'd get me something to eat. I'm hungry. But even when I'm not real hungry, even if I've had my belly full and I drive by one of these restaurants that cooking is fat, juicy, high cholesterol hamburgers. It's like, oh, I'd eat one now, though it'd run out my eyes and my ears. You know what I mean? And there are certain things that we all like. I go to the West Virginia State Fair. I hadn't been for a little while. And they're cooking those roasted ears of corn. They slob it down in butter. And I smell that cooking. It's like, oh, that smells good. That's what this is talking about. This is Jesus Christ to the Father.
Amen.
Let me give you a couple things. It was, as we've already read, a sweet savor unto the Lord. Now let me tell you, if it's a sweet savor unto the Lord, you best hope God gives you grace to taste it or smell it as a sweet savor too.
Amen.
But that's not the point in the burnt offering. The burnt offering was to smell good to God.
Right.
To smell good to God. Secondly, Christ was a sweet savor in far more than his death.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's much more than just sin expiating.
Yeah.
It's righteousness established by man.
Yes, sir.
But that righteousness was established even before the world was beginning.
Amen.
Proverbs chapter 8. I remember years ago Earl preaching a message, or probably a series of messages, maybe, from this passage. And this passage in Romans 8 is talking about wisdom, but this wisdom is personified as a person.
Yes, sir.
And that is the truth. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God.
Amen.
But here's the particular verse I want us to look at, verse 30. This is this personified wisdom, this person who's called wisdom, and that's Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
This is what it says about him. Then was I by him. That's even before the foundation of the world. Look at the other verses.
Yeah.
Even before the world was made.
Yes, sir.
Then was I by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight.
Amen.
God smelled his son back then. And Mason, he was pleased with that smell.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? This was back yonder, Joe.
Yes, sir.
Back yonder, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. Now that's amazing, coming from a man named Solomon, who may not even have known, I don't know if he even knew about North America and South America. I don't know if he knew about all the depths of the great seas upon this planet. But he knew there's only certain places human beings can live.
That's right.
It's the way it's always been, the way it's always going to be. But then here's the thing. Rejoicing, that is Christ, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights, this is an amazing thing.
Yes, sir.
And my delight, the Father's delight was with him daily. Think about that. And my delights were with the sons of men.
What is that?
Now he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Mm-hmm.
Even before the world began, he knew what we would become in Adam.
Yeah.
Do you hear me? He knew what we'd become in Adam. And anybody who don't, I believe he purposed what happened in Adam.
Yeah.
But he knew without question what would take place concerning us in Adam. And yet his delights were still with what? The sons of men. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
But look, now therefore hearken unto me. Mm-hmm. O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And they that hate me love death.
Amen.
That was true before the world began.
Yes, sir.
That was true of us and our father Adam and our mother Eve in the garden. And we just kicked it to the side. That's what we did.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, I didn't do that. The book says you did.
Yep. Right.
The book says you did. The book says I did.
Yeah.
See, Christ is eternal, sweet savor to God.
Amen.
He didn't become a sweet savor.
That's right.
He's always, even before the world was made,
Amen.
He's always been a sweet savor to God. But then he came into this world, was made flesh. And as Joe aptly pointed out, there are what men call Christophanies. That is, human appearances of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But that was not fixed from that time.
Exactly.
He became flesh when he was born of Mary the Virgin.
Yes, sir.
And then in his baptism, it says this. God said this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. God the Father recorded this of Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am.
Amen.
Am, not will be.
Exactly.
Not one day when he dies on the cross.
No.
No. In whom I am well pleased. The fire on the burnt offering was still going up, gentlemen.
Amen.
It was still going up.
Sir.
So much so that at his transfiguration, it goes even further. It plays off of Proverbs 8, as we've already read. At his transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John. And they actually seen Christ in his original glory.
Yes, sir.
You know? So much so that Joey still had on regular clothes, but they shone.
Yeah.
Effulgence of light. Mm-hmm. And God spoke from heaven, and all God said was these words. Yeah. This is my beloved Son. Hear him.
Amen.
He's already said he's pleased with him.
Yeah.
Didn't have to say that again, Joe. He's always been pleased with him. He said he was pleased with him for our benefit, not for his own.
Exactly.
But he said, this is my beloved Son. You better listen to him.
Amen.
That's what he said, did he not?
Yes, sir.
So he was a sweet savor unto God, even in his baptism. He was a sweet savor to God in his life, his whole life as a man, and his obedient death on the cross.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And listen what the Apostle Paul writes concerning Jesus Christ. And he says this. This is a tall order. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Yes,
that's saying something right there.
That's exactly right.
That's saying something right there. But then look at what I want to actually get to. Who? Talking about Christ Jesus. Who? Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of what? No reputation. He had the right to come down here and say, I'm God.
Amen.
And visibly show that to every fallen son and daughter of Adam.
Yes,
but
sir.
He didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He hid his glory in that veil of flesh.
Yes, sir.
And you looked at Jesus of Nazareth. He was the Christ. He's God Almighty. He's the one that the Father was still. That smells good.
Amen.
Even though he had the stink of human sweat under his armpits.
Yeah.
Even though he had dirt probably under his fingernails and his toenails. Yet he was to God the Father. Now look. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. God Almighty.
Amen.
Taking upon himself the form of a servant.
Yeah.
And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man. How do I say that? I don't want to be too... He had to go to the bathroom like the rest of us do.
Exactly.
Did you know that? Did you ever think about that? He had to do the same thing we do when we eat.
Yeah.
Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, the only man that ever truly did.
Exactly. That's right.
We have to be humbled before we ever humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And humbled himself. This was before he died.
Yeah.
This was before he was subject unto his parents.
Yes, sir.
His earthly parents, his stepfather and mother, we could say, right?
Yep.
And humbled himself and became obedient unto death, and not just laying down in the bed and dying. Even the death of the cross. Wherefore? See the burnt offering going up?
That's
see
right.
The fire still burning? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. And some places that word is translated swear.
Yeah.
Swear. That Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everything our Lord did, even up unto his death, was a sweet savor unto the Lord. And I'm not going to read it, but go to the book of the Revelation, chapter 21 sometime, verses 22 through 27, in what we call the eternal state, the new heavens and the new earth. And it says there's no need for the temple there. Now remember, the tabernacle finally was abolished, and they set up an actual temple made of stone. But it still had all of the other stuff that the tabernacle had, other than those coverings of goat skin, badger skin, all of that. Still all the sacrifices. But in that day, there will be no temple, because the Lamb is the temple. There ain't going to be no need of the moon and the sun.
That's right.
God's going to be the light of it. But you know what that light is? The Lamb.
Amen.
The Lamb. You see, even in the eternal state, when God wraps this all up, God's still saying, I enjoy the smell of my son.
Yes, sir.
Truly, truly, the fire shall never go out before the
Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Sadly, before some, the fire's never been kindled. It has been kindled, but they don't see it.
That's right.
They don't see it. And I was the same way for years.
Yes, sir.
And you were the same way for years. If you see it now, at one time you couldn't see that fire.
That's right.
You cared nothing about that fire. And when you smelled it, you thought, that is burnt flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? That's just burnt. I see ashes. But that's all you see.
Yeah.
You don't see that fire burning before the Lord forever. Oh, but when God opens your eyes, when God gives you eyes to see and a heart to perceive, all of a sudden you say, what's that? That smells good.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You see, God's people, when God saves a person, they fall in love with Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I'm saying? They fall in love with Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yep. The steakhouse never had a good, pleasant steak like this one.
That's right.
This is the Christ of God.
Amen.
This is the Christ of God. Number two. The burnt offering was for all classes.
Yes, sir.
You could take one of the herd, that is a cow. Mm-hmm. You could take one of the flock, that is possibly a lamb or whatever it was. Or maybe a fowl, just a little pigeon, a couple of them.
Yep.
Just a couple of pigeons or turtle doves. Now we know this is what it's talking about, because if you go to Leviticus 5 and 7, it talks about the peace offering, and you could use, if you weren't able to have a cow, and not everybody could afford a cow.
That's right.
Not everybody had cattle. No. Not everybody had sheep. Not everybody had goats.
That's right.
But it was possible for anyone to get a hold of a couple turtle doves.
Yeah.
They're sold for what does our Lord say? Just a penny. Just a child could have went out and took off some trash and made a penny or two. Got a couple turtle doves. What am I talking about? What's this talking about? You could take it from the herd or the flock or the fowl. Now, you didn't choose. Well, I've got all kinds of herd, but I'm just going to use a fowl. God knows your heart.
There you go.
God knows your heart. God knows what you really can afford or not, and I meant to use that word. But it's not really even about that. Our position in this world and our state compared to other people in this world never commends or bars us from Christ or to Christ. It just doesn't. His perfections are found in himself.
Amen.
Whether I view it as one of the herd or just a couple pigeons. Just a couple turtle doves.
Amen.
Think of it. God saved a Mary. A chaste woman.
Yeah.
Remember Mary, his mother?
Yeah.
What was she? 16, 17, 18 years old? Maybe even younger? We don't know for sure. Here's a chaste woman. Now, don't you get mad at me. If you do, it's tough. I don't care. Go find one of those nowadays.
There you go.
Now, there are some around. I'm not saying they're not. But they're few and hard to find in between. But God saved a Mary. But he also saved a Mary that had seven devils in her.
That's right.
And she wasn't chaste.
Yeah.
She wasn't clean.
No.
But Mary, his mother, was no more qualified for the grace of God than Mary Magdalene.
That's right.
Because they were both and were all sinners.
Amen.
Sinners. But God has made provision and accomplished that sweet smell in the person of his son for anyone who knows they're a sinner.
Amen.
There are great sinners, and there are others when you compare that great sinner to themselves, they're not so bad a sinner.
Right.
But we're still all sinners.
Exactly.
We're still all sinners. And I didn't even have this in my notes, but bless God, if I could only live like Joe's message encourages me to live, I would quit sinning.
Yeah.
I would quit sinning. But I still thank God I'm a sinner.
That's right.
Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't understand what I'm saying, go Joe's message and listen to it. You ought to. It makes me want to quit sinning.
Yeah.
But it makes me glad I'm a sinner.
Exactly.
And God ever gives you a taste of that, you'll understand what I'm talking about. The burnt offering was for all classes. Did he not say? Do not the saints say in Revelation 5, verse 9, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of. Now let's get this right. Jesus Christ didn't come to make redemption possible.
That's right.
He come and redeemed a people.
Amen.
And he did so in such a thorough way that they are redeemed and will come out of.
Yes.
Every tribe, kindred, tongue, nation, people, gender, race, whatever distinction you want to make.
That's right.
That makes me happy.
Amen.
Because that lets me know there's hope for me.
There you go.
Because I'm one of that horde mass of people.
Yeah.
Hmm? Even the Apostle Paul, in talking to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, 22 through 31, he said, you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men, not many mighty, not many noble are called. They're just not. God is not calling many of them.
Yeah.
But even them, that is the wise, the noble, there's still hope there. Is there not?
Mm-hmm.
Because he says not many. He didn't say not any.
Yeah.
And I remember the one queen, she said, I thank God for the word, for the letter M.
Yeah.
I thank God for the letter M because it says not many. It doesn't say not any. She said, or I'd have no hope.
That's right.
Because she was noble. High bred.
Yeah.
She didn't live like you and I live, folks.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, they get up in the morning. They don't wear their jammies all day long. Like you sometimes do on Saturday. They get up in the morning. They're dressed before they even go to breakfast.
Yeah.
And they're dressed to the nines. Wow. Huh?
Yeah.
But thank God it says not many. It doesn't say not any.
Amen.
And Paul, even speaking to believers, says that in Christ Jesus, we're all the same. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, rich or poor, male or female. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, it's his smell that matters.
Amen.
Not mine.
Yeah.
Now, do you hear me? It's his smell. He's the burnt offering. He's the sweet savor unto the Lord.
Amen.
You smell yourself? Now, come on, smell yourself. I put on deodorant. A little bit of smellums this morning. I think I'm in pretty good shape compared to what I was when I first got up this morning.
There you go. Yeah.
But when God smells me, you know what He smells?
Yeah.
From the top of my head to the sole of my feet, He smells wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That's nasty, rotting stink.
That's the word of God.
Now, who do you want God to be smelling?
There you go.
You or Christ? And you in Him.
Amen.
You in Him. Outside of Christ, God smells you.
Yeah.
God smells me.
Yeah.
And He knows what I am. Number three, the fire of the burnt offering is the same fire for the fat of the peace offering. And remember, if you read through Leviticus, if you have read through it, or if you've read even so far, you find out this truth in the book of Leviticus. Who gets the fat?
Yeah, there you go.
God does.
Amen.
God does.
Yes, sir.
No human being, no fallen son or daughter of Adam ever got the fat. Sometimes they would give it a whole rump.
Uh-huh.
Aaron or his sons were given a whole rump, but the fat went to God.
Yep.
The fat on the kidneys, the fat on the caul, the fat is God's. And God told Israel, you don't eat the fat and you don't eat the blood. That's mine.
Yeah.
That's mine. Uh-huh. Isn't that something? And think that fire. Every morning, Joe, it was rekindled.
Uh-huh.
Every morning. It don't go out.
Yeah.
It don't go out. And that smells constantly going up to God. Burnt offering and peace offering, the fat of it, right there together in the every morning.
Yeah.
Mm. Think about it. Fire equals judgment, does it not?
Yeah.
But judgment doesn't always equal condemnatory judgment.
That's right.
It says of Jesus Christ, Peter said of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 2, 19 through 25, and he says this is the way he walked. Now he's our example.
Yeah.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's what it means. But he says this, he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously.
Amen.
Not just judges to condemnation. He didn't ever judge Christ to condemnation.
No.
Never. He was always that
right.
sweet smell. But think of what our Lord went through.
Yes, sir.
He was mocked and ridiculed by his own creation. He was called a drunk. They insinuated that he was ill born.
Yeah.
Hmm?
You're right.
They even would have killed him.
Yes, sir.
Stoned him with stones or pushed him off the precipice of a cliff had it not been God's sovereign purpose that he wasn't going to die. Till he got to that cross.
Amen.
And yet, all of that suffering, all of that suffering, what did he do? He committed himself to God in it.
Amen.
Hmm? And said, Father, I thank thee. What shall I say? Save me from this cup? Save me from this hour? I'm sorry, the hour. He said, but for this cause came I unto this hour.
Amen.
Now, you talk about faith.
Yeah.
Don Fortner mentioned this just last Saturday. At Dingus. You remember when the disciples were in that boat, and I mean it was turmoil. They were scared to death. Where was Jesus Christ at?
Yeah.
He was laying in the back of that boat on a pillow, sleeping. You know why? Because he knew he wasn't going to die till he got to Calvary.
That's exactly right.
And if we really believe God like we ought to, we know I ain't going to die till God says so. And if God has said so, I'm going to die no matter what precautions I take to avoid it.
Right. Exactly. Amen.
That's not fatalism, that's faith.
That's truth, yeah.
That's faith. That's our example.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, you know, remember we and I talked a little bit about this, but with the heavenly things, better sacrifices, plural, than these. You think it wasn't a sacrifice for Jesus Christ to come down here in this world in human flesh?
Yeah. There you go.
Now, not every sacrifice was a blood sacrifice. Some were meat sacrifices. Some were drink sacrifices. They all didn't have blood. But without the shedding of blood, there's never, ever, 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 ever any remission.
Amen.
Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for us during his whole life.
Amen. Yeah.
He endured what he went through for me and you. But the glory was, the Father was smelling that and said, this is good.
Amen.
This is good. Fire also equals purification.
Yeah.
And Hebrews 10, verses 4 through 14 says, He purified us when He died for us.
Amen.
He did it in two ways. He sanctified and perfected us.
Amen.
When He died.
Yes.
When He died. Fire also equals what? Smoke.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the burnt offering. It wasn't to be a blaze that just all you seen was fire. It is that what? That sweet savor. That smoke. Now remember, there was fire, and the KJV calls it cloud that followed the children of Israel.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you read right at the end of Exodus? And we go in now, Leviticus takes a pause. That fire and cloud was still there, folks. Who was that? That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And the cloud was not these things of moisture we see. It's that smoke that come up off that fire.
Yes, sir.
Because that smoke, that cloud, as the KJV puts it, was light to the children of Israel at night. And was darkness to the Egyptians during the night.
That's right.
It was a fire and the smoke that rolled up off that fire. That's the cloud.
Yeah.
And I can just picture in my mind's eye, they begin to lay these pieces of meat up on the head and legs. And fire's burning. And all of a sudden that smoke begins to waft up, don't it? It's the way it is. And God said in type, that smells good. You see, our smell before God in ourselves is pure, unadulterated rot.
That's it.
That's what we smell like to God. We are a stench in God's nostrils. But Christ isn't. He never has been. Paul Pendleton, He never will be. Ever. If I'm in Him, I'm in a safe place.
Amen.
Am I not? That's why Paul said, I don't want my own righteousness, the legal kind. I want to be found in Him. I want to be found in His righteousness. So much so that the Apostle Paul put it this way when he was encouraging us to believe God, to walk rightly, to conduct ourselves as believers in this world. And he says in Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. He offered Himself for us, but He doesn't offer Himself to us.
Exactly.
He offered Himself to God.
Amen.
The burnt offering is exclusively
the
property of God's snaz.
That's right.
He likes that. If you're in Him, God likes your smell.
That's right.
You hear me?
Amen.
God likes your smell in spite of your still present state.
Right.
Look, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He's given us for Himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling Savior. Now because of this, turn away from all this other garbage.
Yeah.
Now isn't that what He goes on to say?
Yeah.
The fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather do what? Give thanks to God.
Amen.
For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Well, I believe in grace, so it don't matter how I live. You're on the wrong path, buddy.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. You're on the wrong path, buddy.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that. You will if God ever shows you how stinky you are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How much rot you are.
Yeah.
You'll say, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Isn't that what Paul said? Job said, I hate myself.
Yeah.
And Paul said, what I hate, I do it sometimes.
Amen.
But I hate it.
Yeah.
Most so-called Christians don't hate it. They just don't want to get caught at it.
There you go.
Well, that's the truth. Most so-called Christians don't hate it. They just don't want to get caught at it.
Exactly.
He goes on, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers therefore with them.
There you go.
You know what he says? The burnt offering is for God's pleasure. And God says that's a pleasant aroma.
Amen.
That's a pleasant aroma. Oh God, I pray that aroma stands for me.
Amen.
And I pray that aroma stands for you this very day. Father, teach us these things from your word. May we see that Christ is the sum and substance of all your word in one avenue or facet or another, that it's all concerning his person and his glory. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Joe.
I like to burn off.
Yeah.
I do. I like that what it says. It says, it shall be an atonement for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then go walk.